Sometimes life is complex and difficult and frustrating. But Father, thank you that in this moment we can just remind ourselves that there is a simplicity to the life that you called us to. And that all we need is you. We declare this morning that you are enough, Jesus. We declare this morning that your work on the cross is sufficient. It is enough. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are with us and that you are enough. God, no matter what we are facing and going through, we declare this morning that you are enough in our individual lives, in our family units, in the larger body that has joined you together. You are enough. So we turn to your word. We thank you that your word is enough. Your word has all the answers, has all the direction. Come and lead us and speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome to have a seat. So if you have been with us or not with us, a quick recap. We are busy. Oh, teenagers can quickly slip out. Let's just give them a moment. We are busy with a short series called My Church. And we're looking at different aspects of that. The first one that we looked at 3 weeks ago is that actually I can never use the phrase my church, because that's a phrase that belongs to Jesus. Jesus is the one that said, I will build my church. Church belongs to him. Church is his idea. Church is his priority. It's something that he has instituted. And if I approach church and I look at church, I must start from that place, realizing and understanding that church is his idea. It is his body, and he chose that we should interact in that way. Elements of church, just to recap that quickly, Matthew 18:20, where two or three gather. For it to be church, we need to gather. We need to come together. Whether it's two or 2,000, we need to gather. We need to gather in his name, in his authority. He's the foundation on which church is built. He's the head, and we are the body. And the third element that is crucial, I will be there with them. The presence of God needs to be there. It's a group that gathers in his name and with his presence. And if we do that, then we have church. For those of you who missed it, probably the thing that stood out for me the most is when I looked at this, is church will not stop when we leave earth. In fact, when we get to heaven, the fulfillment of church will be there. Why? Because a group will gather in his name and in his authority because of what he has done, and he himself will be with us. We'll have church in heaven. Last week we looked at my church with a small letter. So yes, God does place me in a local body. A local place where I get to call, this is my church family. If we look, read through the book, the books of the Bible, the New Testament, you'll see this. Paul writes a letter, not to the individual, but he writes it to the church. Church in Ephesus, the church in Corinthians. The book of Revelation is a book that is written to the church to address certain issues. In fact, in Ephesians 5, we read that, for husbands, this means that you need to love your wives just as Christ loved the church. We live in a society that's very me-orientated. And we tend to think that God died for me. Yes, he died for you, but he died for his church. He died so that he can make you part of his church, his body. Just as Christ loved the church, and he gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. Christ died for the church. Christ died to make the church holy and clean bring it into existence. So this morning we want to look at my church, and we put it in brackets because we had no other capitals to play with or other ideas how to do this. My church capital, it's God's church. My church small is the church where God has placed me, where I slot in. And what we want to look at this morning is my church is a place where I contribute. It's a place where I belong, but it's also a place where I give. So we read in 1 Peter 2, 4 to 5. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple, and you are living stones that are being built into His spiritual temple, His church, His body, His flock, people that gather in His name. And you are a living stone. In other words, everything that you have should be part of this temple, this church that God is building. God is looking for you. He's wanting to add you into His temple and to build His church and to expand it. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul gives instruction as to how our worship should be conducted. He says, and when you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation that God has given, one will speak in tongues, and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. So we have this play again between the individual and the group. Who's the focus? Is it the individual or is it the group, the coming together, the church of God that is gathered? It is actually the group. Everything that we do in this service, our expression of our understanding of local church, small m, in our bigger understanding of His church, should be done so that everyone will be strengthened and encouraged and built up. But it comes from a one and another, a living stone coming to church, in our case on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, and saying, I am choosing to be built in into this temple, and I'm willing to bring what I have, to bring my part and to play my role. So when you come to church, do you come to give or do you come to receive? And there's different seasons in our lives. There might be seasons where I come just to receive, where life is tough and life is challenging and difficult, and I don't have much to give. Then I come to receive. And maybe there are times when things are going well in my life. God has blessed me with certain things, so I am the one who comes to give, as we read in 1 Corinthians. I am the other one. Another comes, and one comes, and another comes. And I come on a Sunday morning, and my goal is not so much to receive, but to ask, but what can I give to someone else? Maybe you're in a place where you just filled with the joy of God. Then you get to come to church on a Sunday morning to find someone who's not filled with the joy of God. And you just connect with them and encourage them and lift them up. Paul says it the following way in Romans as he writes to the church there. He says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith. But I also want to be encouraged by yours. Paul says that when we come together, we give and we receive. I want to be encouraged by you. I want to come and encourage you, but I also want to receive from you. And that's the beauty of the body of Christ coming together. When we come with an understanding that we should come to contribute, that which I have, I can give. We all know the story so well of the boy who made it into the Bible, who had the five loaves and the two fishes. It wasn't enough. Not by a long shot. It was a meal for a boy. It was enough for his lunch. But he brought that. And the disciples, even when they came, he said, this is what we have. It's probably not enough. What can we do with this? And Jesus was able to multiply that. When we talk about contributing, giving, and receiving, one of the things that we can talk about is finances. We can say, but I don't have much. And I want to remind you of the story of Jesus sitting in the temple, watching people bring their donations, their contributions. And he got excited when a lady gave two small copper coins. You have something. You might think it's insignificant, but you have something. So I told you last week that in 2015, I was at a large church in America. They actually, just over the weekend, I was reminded as I watched, hosted the GLS that we will present later in the year. And I just got to see and be reminded of some of that building. I got to, just this morning when I took a look, I don't want to over-exaggerate because we probably tend to do that, but I'm pretty sure that their foyer is probably more than twice this auditorium, just their foyer. I said last week 8,000, I was wrong. It's 7,200 that they seat. It's a massive church. So think for, look down at your feet for a moment. What do you see? Now, if the foyer is double the size of this church, just think for a moment how much carpet there is. Jan is getting excited because he can sell them some carpets. So what do you think the operation would be involved to vacuum that church once a week? Maybe we've got some clever guys here, you're making plans. Okay, entrepreneurs are trying to set up a business. Maybe you can outsource it. You get a company to come in, they take care of it, they clean it. Maybe you decide the best way to do that is to hire some staff. And the only thing that staff do for the whole week is they vacuum. It's like these people who live on the plots, the larger areas, and they've got to cut the grass the whole week. They start Monday morning this side, and by Friday afternoon, they are done, and Monday they start again. Do you know how they clean their carpets? They have a team of pensioners who come in on a Monday morning, and they volunteer their time. Let's just give her a moment to find the button. They have a team of volunteer, mostly pensioners, who come in on a Monday morning or Tuesday morning, whatever the case might be, and they vacuum the carpets. Everyone has something that they can give. It depends on your willingness to say that church is God's idea. It's His church. He's placed me in this local body, and I am a living stone. And if the only thing that I can do is vacuum a carpet, then I'm going to come and vacuum a carpet. Please don't phone us on Monday to volunteer for carpet duty. That's not what we're asking or saying. I want to stretch your mind. I want to stretch your understanding that God has placed something within you. And when you come to church, when you gather, you are supposed to give something. I'm pretty sure that those people who vacuum get something out of it, because they get to meet with their friends. And probably they take also the whole week to vacuum because they talk so much. Maybe they have to rest a lot. But that's irrelevant. They have something small that they can give, and they give that. And probably not many people even know about that. But I bet you when they walk into church on Sunday morning, they say, I vacuumed that piece of carpet. It's clean. And when they walk in and there's a piece of paper lying around, I'm pretty sure they're going to pick it up. Because that's their area. They've cleaned that. And no one will take a second notice, but they have given something to build God's church. So I want to encourage you to use your gift. Scripture is very clear that God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. If you quiet down and you say, God, what can I give? Pretty sure He'll show you something. Pretty sure that He's given something that you can do. In Galatians 5, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Even the fact that God saved you is a gift that He's given you, and you've got to use that gift to serve other people. We are called to serve and to love others. So when we get together in a group, we'll probably find that I have or I need. There's something I have, but there's probably something that I need as well. And you have something and you need something or are in need of something. If we read the book of Acts, the early description of church, it says all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything that they had. If we look at the formula of church, we had gather, come together, we see that. It's in the name of Jesus, that's the foundation. His death on the cross. We know that the Holy Spirit was poured out just a couple of weeks or months earlier to this text being written. God is present with them. But now we see something else that's happening. They shared everything that they had. In other words, the person who was encouraged and strengthened came together with someone who might be a little bit down on that particular day. And they shared. The person who was down shared his story. And the person who was encouraged and built up and strengthened came and he shared what God has done for him. And together they built each other up and they strengthened. And both of them walked out of there excited, knowing that God is faithful, that He is true, and that He is Abel. They sold their property and their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. How do we build a church? By using this formula. Together, in His name, Him being present, and something else, a willingness to share, a willingness to give, a willingness to understand that I no longer live for myself, but I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm a living stone that has been built into this house. If you've ever seen these home renovation shows where they take these old buildings and they want to try and fix it, the wall is standing and sometimes you just take out one brick and the whole wall collapses. You are needed. Your place in the wall is important. Whatever you bring, the gift that God has placed within you is relevant and is necessary. And is needed. Paul writes about the whole body. And he says, this makes for harmony among the believers so that all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all parts suffer. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. It's the illustration of if my little toe is broken, then I feel it. Gert over there broke his shoulder about 6 or 7 weeks ago. So if you walk past him, his hand will hang in a sling like this, and he'll greet you with the other way around, with the left hand. I'm pretty sure he felt it in his whole body. Pretty sure he felt it in his emotions. It's even possible that he felt it in his spiritual connection with God. That's a shoulder. You see, it affects every part of his being. And if one part in this body is suffering, then the whole body is suffering. One part is honored, all the part shared. So I want to invite you this morning to contribute. Contribute you. You are the living stone. Be prepared to be built into this house. And we don't have time. I've got a couple of verses there. You're welcome to read through them. So we've noticed, that's the wrong way to say it, because it seems like it's suddenly something we just saw last week. No, it's not. We've known for a while. We've always known that in our midst this morning, there's a very real possibility that someone is hungry. Might not have had a meal this morning or last night. What do we as a church do about that? In James, it says that I cannot simply say, brother, I'll pray with you, go well. James writes and he says, but I will show you my faith by my actions. I'll show you my faith by contributing, by sharing. Yes, we gather, it's in his name and he's present, but we've got to add our willingness to share. And if this morning I have a sandwich in my pocket, I know why you would come to church with a sandwich, but maybe after today you get to do that and you get to meet someone who has not had a meal, you get to share. So that person can be encouraged and strengthened. And so that you can be strengthened and encouraged by your ability to give. Remember the words of Jesus, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. So we did something that I'm still struggling to get my head around. I like to have a plan. I like to know how this is going to play out. And we just went last week and I bought two of these things. They're called soup kettles. Each of them will hold 10 liters of soup. And we just decided we're just going to do this. If it is his church, he will build his church. If he's placed us here this morning, it is our church. And if there's an understanding of his body and my role in it, then he will do what he needs to do. So someone volunteered and we have soup this morning. So if there's anyone sitting here this morning and you are hungry, we don't want to embarrass you. We debated this a lot. How should we handle this? And we felt that we should just say it the way it is. If you find yourself here this morning and you need a meal, we have a meal for you. And what we want to do is we want to trust that we could do this every Sunday. Now, here's the thing. I didn't have a plan for this week. God provided. Someone volunteered 18 liters, 17.8 is a joke between me and the supplier. Liters of, she drank a little bit to test it. And someone, I didn't even know about this, I only heard about it yesterday or Friday. Someone heard about this and said, we'll bring some sandwiches. Now, obviously going forward, we're going to have to do a little bit of planning, okay? Because we don't want 40 liters of soup and no sandwiches, or sandwiches for 300 people, or whatever the case might be. So if God is speaking to you about this, if this is what he's saying to you, it might not be what he's saying to you, but if he is saying to you, talking to you about this, have it said to Camille or to Mark or myself afterwards. You want to say, God, you want to do church. You want to understand that this is your space. And that the person who is hungry and the person who is well fed has equal right in God's eyes. He loves them equally. He wants to draw them into a body where they can belong. So I want to ask the worship team to come up. Now some of your gears are spinning. And you're saying that that's going to be a mess. It's going to be a challenge. You are absolutely right. It's going to be a huge challenge. I want to reverse a little bit of a picture from the book of Acts. So, two chapters, chapter 6, chapter 7, and chapter 8. But I want to tell the story in reverse. Because we desire certain things and we hope for certain things and we dream for certain things as church and as Christians. And the word revival gets used a lot, but I think all of us say we'd love it if God just pours out his spirit. What if Funabel Park just changes overnight? And the clubs closes and the all the places that sell liquor and the shebeens and the drug dealers and all of that just gets sorted out. And God is just present in our city. Wouldn't that be amazing? So that actually happened. Acts chapter 8 verse 8 says, and there was great joy in that city. Philip goes to Samaria and he preaches the gospel. And it says many people are healed, people are delivered, people accept Jesus. It is just amazing. The whole city was filled with great joy. You might use the word revival. Now before that, there's a persecution. Some challenging things happen. Before that, Stephen gets stoned to death. Sometimes there are challenges that precede God doing something in our city. But if we take that a little bit back, who is Stephen and who is Philip? Who are these guys? We haven't heard their names before. They are deacons. Deacons, quite literally, is just someone who serves. Probably a modern-day language or word for it would be a waiter. Someone who brings the food and puts the food on your table. But there was a little bit of a requirement. These guys had to be filled with the Spirit of God and able to serve the soup after church. It says of Stephen, Acts 6 verse 8, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs amongst the people. This is the guy serving the food. Philip is his friend who gets to go to Samaria and see the whole town changed. Where did these guys come from? You see, there was an incident in church. And the leaders of the church said, we need to appoint deacons. And they appointed Stephen and Philip and some other guys. It says the following in Acts chapter 6, verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. I love that translation. Church should have rumblings of discontent. Sometimes when there's rumblings of discontent, we get scared. We stop things. What was the rumblings about? The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows are being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. There was a fight over food. It's a little bit more interesting. There's some races and languages and cultures, groups. And it got messy. And the leaders of the church could have said, you know what, this is a mess. If this is the way you're going to act, what we're going to do is we're just going to stop it. Then no one gets food. You happy now? Problem solved. If they did that, they never appointed Stephen and never appointed Philip. Stephen was never the one who did the signs and the miracles, who got stoned, the first martyr. Philip never goes to Samaria, and there's never great joy as a city turns to Jesus. Church is messy. There will always be rumblings of discontent. And as we do this crazy thing of saying that we're going to give a cup of soup and a sandwich to people who are hungry, it might be very messy this morning. It might be nice today. It might be messy in a week or 3 weeks. It might be things that work or don't work. But if we understand that church is His idea, if we understand that He has placed me within this body, and this is where I need to be, and I understand that I am a living stone being built into this place, that I get to contribute. If it's making a cup of soup, bringing a sandwich, vacuuming the floors, whatever you have, God is calling you to bring that to His church. Build His church. As we begin to vacuum the floors, as we begin to serve soup, will there be issues? For sure. Why will there be issues? It's very easy. Because I am there and you are there. And somewhere along the line, we are going to disagree about something. Church is messy. But if we engage the mess, if we stand in the middle of the mess and we say, God, we did this wrong, we're sorry, we messed up, but this is what we understand you are calling us to do. Come together in His name, with His presence, and share what you have placed in our hearts, in our hands. Because we want to get to the place where we can say there was great joy in the city. For the Philips and the Stevens to stand up from the soup tables, to stand up from the vacuum team, and to perform great signs and great miracles, and go to a place and go pray for people and see God move. See our space transformed. As you come to this table this morning, I said to the worship team this morning, I tried it out, and I said it might come out a little bit harsh, and they actually gave me permission to just say it in that way. You cannot partake of this body if you're not prepared to share. Does it make sense? Jesus shared His body. His body was broken so that others could be blessed. Jesus, for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. Jesus gave and Jesus received. And as you come to this table this morning, don't you want to reflect on that? God has placed something in your hand. He's placed something in your heart. A word of encouragement. A hug. A smile. Place something within you. And as you come to church, you come to give, but you come to receive. You come with a willingness to be who you are and who God has made you to be, and say, but I will add this into church. And we'll push through the messiness of that so that we can go to a food fight, to a revival. And we can see God transform the community around us. Father, we thank You that You have placed us within church. Thank You that You wanted me here. Thank You that I have something to give, something to contribute. Thank You that You take me as a stone and You build me into this wall, Your spiritual temple. So that there can be a place where You can dwell. Father, we pray for that soup. Pray for people who are hungry this morning. We thank You for those who had enough to say that we can share an extra meal. pray, Father, that people will be fed, not just with a cup of soup, but fed in the Spirit as they drink of that soup. May they experience your love. May they experience your provision. May that cup of soup and that sandwich, may it be a seed in their lives to declare that God is able to provide for you. Father, my prayer is that someone who is in need of a cup of soup today and drinks a cup of soup today, in a few months or in a year or two or three, we will be the person bringing the soup. May this be a seed. May we struggle through the messiness of this and get to a place where our town is filled with great joy because you moved in a miraculous way. Father, as we come to this table, we come to receive from you your body that was broken, your blood that was spilled. But we also come to make a commitment to you that we are willing to give what you have placed in our hands. You're welcome to come forward. This table's at the back. Spend a few moments, and then the worship team will lead us in a closing song.